We thank you, Father, that you've gathered us this morning to worship you. And I pray, Father, in this time as we turn to your word, that by the working of your Holy Spirit, Father, you would form us into the women and men that you desire us to be, O Lord God, into the family that you desire us to be, O Lord God. O give us eyes to see now, that we would trust in Christ more and more. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we started last week looking at spiritual warfare. And we looked from Genesis chapter 3 to see really where this warfare, this battle, this war began. It's really in the Garden of Eden at the fall, where we turned from God, our parents turned from God and disobeyed Him, but in doing so really switched our allegiance to the evil one. And through God's judgment on Satan, we saw that actually he is the enemy of our souls. He is the enemy of all humanity, and his desire is to devour us. And so began a battle that was decisively won at Calvary, at the cross, but that we still continue in until Christ's return. That we exist in this time between times. That we are already saved, and yet not yet fully saved. That we already have the victory over Satan through Christ, and yet not yet experiencing the totality of that victory yet until heaven, until Christ's return again. So last week we focused on the reality that there is a war. That we are in a war. But it's a war that's already won. Certainly. Absolutely. Completely. And so as we engage in the battle to which God has called us, as we engage in the battle to which exists around us, we know the outcome. Changes everything. When we know the outcome of this battle. One of the reasons why we're doing this series on spiritual warfare is because, as we mentioned last week, we tend to take one or two approaches to Satan. One is to pay a whole lot of attention to him, so much so that we think, you know, there's a demon behind every rock or doorpost, and everything is the devil made me do it, or we focus exclusively on him to the exclusion of Christ, or we completely ignore Satan. I suggest maybe in our culture that we, in our Christian culture, in the West, we tend to err more on the second, on the latter, where we ignore Satan, where we don't really think about the truth, as will be affirmed in today's passage, that there is a spiritual realm. There is a reality, a spiritual reality that exists that is just as real as our physical reality. I think we tend in the West to focus almost exclusively on a physical reality. And just take a listen to your own prayers and the things that we are praying about. They tend to be so focused on this physical reality, which is not wrong. God created us. God created us as physical beings. But we tend to ignore the truth that there is a spiritual realm, which is all around us, which doesn't exist in the same three or four dimensional space. It doesn't have a position and a place and a direction, but it is equally real. And there is constant activity going on there. In fact, it is in the spiritual realm which the battle between God and the evil one is taking place. Spills over into the physical world, absolutely. But the battle takes place in the spiritual realm. And in fact, that is where our victory lies, in the spiritual realm. Again, as we'll see in our passage this morning. So, last week, we acknowledged, we saw the truth of the battle. This week, I want us to begin to look at how do we fight this battle? Just as it would make no sense to sit in the middle of a battlefield and pretend that it wasn't going on, to not acknowledge the battle, so it makes no sense to go into a battle not knowing, not prepared, how, not to be equipped on how we are to fight the battle. Can you picture kind of sitting in the battlefield saying, okay, we're going after war, now there's a battle, and finally you acknowledge there is a battle, and you sit there and you go, I don't know how to fight. I don't have the equipment. I'm not prepared for the battle. Those two things are typically how we as Christians go about our day. Either completely oblivious to the battle around us, or ill-equipped to fight the battle that is going on around us. Not just that's going on around us, but that we are called by our Father to engage in the spiritual battle around us. Well, turn me, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. We're going to do this passage in two sections, this week and next week. This is a well-known passage for many of us. It's the armor of God passage. Wonderful, wonderful passage that really focuses on answering the question, how do we fight the spiritual battle with which we are engaged on a daily basis? How does the believer in Christ, the Christian, fight in this battle? Follow along, please, as I read from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. This is God's Word. This passage is in two parts. We're going to try to look at it that way this week and next week, Lord willing. Verses 10 through 13 are first, again, affirming the truth and describing the battle in which we as believers are in against the evil forces. And then secondly, it begins to explain how, in very general terms, we are to fight the battle. The second half of the passage, verses 14 through 18, then go into the specific items, the specific elements, the specific means that God has given and provided us to engage in the battle, the specific pieces of armor. This week we're going to begin looking at how we fight the battle, the spiritual warfare within which we are engaged. How we fight the battle. First, this passage begins in verse 10 and says, be strong be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Be strong. Now, if it were just those words, be strong, I suggest to you we would be in a lot of trouble. I suggest that we would be very miserable and very scared. If we're told just be strong, that we have to find the strength in ourselves to go into battle with the evil forces, the forces of evil, as they're called in this passage, then we are in big trouble. And that's a battle that we are not going to win. Anybody ever tell you to be strong? Have a stiff upper lip? Just, come on now, grow up. Yeah, yes, right. Come on now, just stop. Don't be weak. Don't cry. Don't be a wimp. Just be strong. Be tough. Come on now. Remember when I first started pastoring full time, another pastor suggested to me, you need to have thicker skin if you're going to be a pastor. You got to have thick skin. You got to be strong. You got to be tough. And maybe so. I mean, there really might be something to that for all of us at different times. And yet, doesn't that often fill us with despair when we're told just toughen up? Just be strong. For some people, they're naturally that way. Praise God, that's wonderful. Some of us, it's not a choice. We're not choosing to not be strong. We're not choosing to be weak. There are just times when we are. There are times when, no matter how hard we try to find that strength from within, it's just not enough to do anything, to accomplish what we need to do, what is before us. I'm not suggesting we give up on things or we take the mentality of a victim. But if it's left to ourselves just to be strong, there are some things legitimately that we are not going to be strong enough to face, to accomplish, to do. We were we were camping on vacation this past week. I know you'll be surprised, but there was a little rain that happened on our camping trip. Little more than a little rain, actually. The whole thing, I still managed to get a sunburn somehow. So it was kind of off and on rain, and then it would stop in thunderstorms. And there were times when it was just the craziest rain I can ever remember happening. It was a beautiful place. We were camping right along where in New Hampshire, where the Ellis River and the Saco River meet. And our campsite is right on the river. It's a beautiful campground, Glen Ellis family campground. It's just wonderful. And our tent was about 10 feet away from the river. Now, it's like a 5-foot drop down. You know, so kind of the edge, our tent, 10 feet the edge, and then it drops down to the river. And so it's, all night you hear the river running by and the bubbling brook. And it's just gorgeous. In the daytime, we could go in the river and play on the river and all that. And it's really, really nice. I can't remember which night now, it all blurs together, but I think it was Wednesday night, so Thursday morning, about 2 a.m. I'm getting older now, so I don't sleep through the night as much. I have to get up and use the facility. So as I was going towards the third tree on the left at 2 a.m., I happened to look down, and it's very convenient when you're camping to be a boy. I happened to look at the river, and it had risen about 5 feet. And maybe it's a 6-foot drop. And it had come up about 5 feet from all the rain and everything. I'm just there staring at this like... And then so from 2 till 5 during the morning, Cynthia and I just sat up and we just watched the river kind of get a little higher, get a little higher, get a little higher. And it came about 6 inches from the top of the lip till finally at 5:30... Cynthia and I both said, all right, we're out of here. So we pack up and we got to go. But in my mind, what was confusing, I kept thinking of, if that crests, if that comes, and if it comes quickly, I am not strong enough to stop the flow of a flood. Someone says, come on now, just be tough, just be strong. You can do it. You gotta stop that river from... I can't. I do not have the strength to stop that. So if we stop in these first two words, be strong, you're in a battle with Satan. Suck it up. Pull up your bootstraps. Be strong. We're in trouble. But that's not what it says. It says, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. And it's pointing all the strength, and it's this whole passage points and shows all the strength comes from God. It is the Lord who is not just the source of strength where we go into and get some strength from Him and say, thank you, God. Thanks for letting me have some of your strength. I got it now. Now I'll go fight the battle. No. The whole time we remain weak, and it is His strength, it is His power by which we fight. It is the how do we fight this battle? In the Lord. In fact, we'll get to this next week. What we'll see, each piece of armor... I mean, you guys are familiar with this passage. You've read it before. You sometimes go, boy, breastplate of righteousness. I wonder what's that like? What is that? The sword of truth. We know that's the only offensive weapon. You know, it's the only offensive piece of armor. It's the Word of God. Okay, but, you know, as we start to wrestle with these, we're going to dig into what is each one. I'm going to give it away right now. You ready? Every piece of armor is mentioned in the Old Testament as a quality, as a character of God. It's God's armor we're putting on. It's God's armor. We don't want to find some breastplate of righteousness. Okay, I guess I got to be righteous. No. God has the breastplate of righteousness. It's His. You still got to come next week. But that's the gist of it right there. It is God's armor that we're putting on. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Now, just to review a little bit, because we haven't gone, we went through the book of Ephesians years ago, but we haven't gone through it in this series here. It's not the first time Paul has used that phrase or those words, mighty power, God's mighty power, in the book of Ephesians. We're seeing it coming to the end of the book. Paul's telling us how we're to fight the spiritual battle within which we are engaged. And he says, be strong in the Lord, in God's strength, in God's power. And we go, all right, well, what kind of power is that? Paul's already talked about it back in chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, this is Paul's prayer. Oh, boy. By the way, okay, parenthesis. If we want to grow in our prayer life, pray the prayers of Scripture. Pray the Psalms. Read them, but pray them. Look through Paul's letters. Often in Paul's letters, he gives specifics of what he prays for. Pray that too. Okay? So we have here, I'll back up. Well, he gives one in verse 15 through 17 thing he prays for. But then in verse 18, he says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. So pray that. Say, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. Lord, enlighten my heart so that I can be filled with hope. So that I could know the hope You've called me to. God, open the eyes of my heart so that I can see the riches of Your glorious inheritance that You give me. God, give me this vision. Give me this sight that I would hope in You and not be lost in the things of this world. Give me that I would see the inheritance. You see what I'm saying? That we pray what Paul is praying and have that guide our prayers also. Okay. But the third thing that he prays, in beginning in verse 19, he wants us to have the eyes of our hearts enlightened, so that, three things, and the third one here in verse 19, that we would know His incomparably great power for us who believe. What is this power? What is this strength? He goes on. That power is like the working of His mighty strength. There's the phrase. Which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand, at His right hand, in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion. So what's the power of God with which we are strong in? Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. What power is that, God? It is the very same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The power that reversed death. The power that transformed death into life, which was the culmination of the battle with Satan. It's the power by which God defeated Satan that we are called to stand in, that we are called to be strong in, that is given to us to fight the battle. Ever play video games? I'm in trouble. This just came to my brain right now as I'm standing here, so this wasn't a planned analogy. So, you know, video games, I don't know. They do all kinds of whatever you do. You run, you jump, you slash, and all this stuff. But there are these things called, I'm not a video game expert. There's things called power-ups. Okay? And there's power-ups that for a limited amount of time, they make you invincible. So that whatever you're doing in the game, you're driving a bike, you're fighting a monster, that you can't be hurt. You can't be killed. We have the power up of Christ, of the strength of God that raised Jesus from the dead. We are wearing His armor as we go into the battle. We don't need to timidly go into the battle. It is the power of God that is the means by which we fight this battle. Almighty God, who has raised Jesus from the dead and seated Him in the heavenly realms. That's important because, again, when Paul uses this phrase, it's in chapter 2 of Ephesians, in verse 6. Not only has God raised Jesus by His power to the heavenly realms, in verse 6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show His incomparably riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So this is important because to understand how we're fighting this battle, it's not just the physical realm. Jesus, seated in the heavenlies, over all powers, all authority, all dominion, has also, when we become believers in Jesus Christ, we are seated in the heavenlies too. Now, in the heavenlies isn't a place. You can't look it up on Google or, you know, Siri, navigate to heavenly realms. That's not what it means, in. To be in the heavenly realms isn't a physical place. Positionally, we are in Christ when we believe in Him. We are in union with Christ. And that is a reality in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual world, which is real. We really are in Christ. And for now, until He returns again, we also dwell in the physical world, this physical reality. But we do so as ones who are in Christ, in the heavenly realms. So our power comes from Christ, with whom we have union, with whom we are connected intimately, with whom, because of salvation, we are brought in positionally united with, in Christ. This is the power which God says we are to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. God's mighty power. Well, how do we do this? How do we be strong in the Lord? How can we be strong in the Lord? It's not just some substitute for being strong ourselves. It's not just some substitute that says, come on now, you've got to have bigger faith than that if you're going to engage in the battle with which we're all engaged in anyways, if you're going to be victorious in spiritual battle which we're all in. You better have stronger faith. You better be better Christian. You better be a stronger Christian. How are we strong in the Lord? Verse 11. Put on the full armor of God. That's the how. That's how we go about it. Is we put on the armor of God. Remember Saul and King Saul and David? When David goes to fight Goliath. And he's the only one who is brave enough to come forward and fight the battle. First of all, why is David brave? Why does he come forward? Is it just in his personality? Was he just being strong, whereas the rest of the army wasn't, or someone else wasn't? I'm not sure I would have had the bravery to step forward and say, I'll do it. But I contend to you that David didn't either. David didn't think, you know what? I'm pretty tough. I can take this guy. I'm pretty good with a slingshot. I mean, I've killed a lion and stuff. I protect the sheep. I'm pretty strong. Why did David volunteer and step forward? Because he trusted in the Lord. Because he said, it is not right for someone to slander the name of the Lord our God. Our God is stronger. Our God is the true God. Therefore, because of God, I will step forward. The story of David and Goliath isn't about how great David is. It's about how great God is. Saul says, we're going to go into battle. Here, wear my armor. It's better. It's awesome armor. Been crafted of the finest materials. It's the strongest around. I'm the king. I have the best. Remember, David puts it on, and usually in our children's Bible, we see that it's like too big for little David, you know, or something. It doesn't actually say that. It just says that he wasn't fighting it. He wasn't going to fight in it. It wasn't working for him. It doesn't go into the specifics of why. He says, no. And part of it there, I'm going to stretch it possibly a little bit here in the absence of explicitly the text stating this. The image I see there is David saying, no, I'm not going to fight in human armor. I already have armor. I have better armor than yours, King Saul. Sorry, you paid so much for your armor and you think it's the best. I got better armor. I have the Lord. David has put on the Lord. He knows that he is in the hands of God. Come what may, he is in the hands of God. That is his strength. That is the power. And we too are called to put on the full armor of God. Then next week, beginning in verse 14, we'll look at the specifics of what that is. But here is just the command now to put on the full armor of God. In other words, put on God. Understand, believe in, trust in. If you are a believer in Christ, you are seated in the heavenlies. You are in Christ. That you are the Lord's. And He is with you and for you. And He goes before you and behind you and beside you and above you and below you into every battle. It's the reality. Let us just become aware of it as we become aware that we are in a spiritual battle all the time. Let us become aware of the truth from Scripture that we are in Christ and the battle is the Lord's. Put on the full armor of God. Why? Now, Paul's going to go back and forth a little bit here. But why do we put on the full armor of God? Middle of verse 11. So that you can take your stand, going to become a very important word in this passage, you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. This is how we fight. The reason we put on the armor of God is so that we can stand. And we stand against the devil's schemes. We looked last week at some of the ways in which Satan attacks us. Attacks us physically, attacks us mentally, attacks us spiritually. Works through the physical world in ways, working to discourage and drag us down and distort our understanding and view of God. And he says, the way we fight it is to put on God. And we do that so that we can stand against the devil's schemes. That's really the call in the battle, the spiritual warfare, as we'll see throughout this passage, is to stand. Not by ourselves, not in our own strength, not pulling up our bootstraps. Stand in God. Knowing Him, trusting in Him, believing Him, as He declares Himself to be throughout the Scriptures. Not believing the lies that Satan declares about God, that Satan declares about us, that Satan declares about other people. Believing the Lord God. Our spiritual battle is really a reenactment of the Garden of Eden every day, where God has said who He is, and now Satan tries to twist and distort it. And who are we going to put on? We're going to put on ourselves and our sinful desires. We're going to put on God and battle as Jesus did against Satan when Satan tried to twist and distort and tempt. And Jesus stayed in the Lord, declaring the truth of who God is and what it means that He is the Son of God. Why do we put on the full armor of God? So we can stand. We can stand in this battle. Why do we need God's armor in order to stand? Why can't we just fight it ourselves? Why can't we just say, no, devil, go away? Verse 12 gives us more details. So we put on the full armor of God. Because our struggle, our battle, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Oh, if my boss just wouldn't be such a jerk. If my children would just obey me. If my spouse just wasn't so difficult. If my neighbor would just stop mowing their lawn so early in the morning. If this cancer would just go away. If that driver would stop texting. Everything would be fine if I just had more money. Everything would be fine. Because my struggle is against all these things in this world. No, they're not. No, they're not. Our struggle is ultimately against Satan and the evil forces. Paul calls this world dark. It says that our battle, our struggle, is against the powers of darkness in the world, against the spiritual forces of evil, which, by the way, also in the spiritual realms. Did you see that as we read through verse 12 there? Not only is Christ seated in the heavenly realms, not only are we positionally seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, but the evil battle, the evil forces are also in the heavenly realm. There really is a spiritual world. Our battle with Satan is a spiritual one. Not fought with weapons from this world. You can't put on boxing gloves to fight Satan. Therefore, we must put on the armor of God. Because our battle is a spiritual battle. battle. Our struggle is a spiritual struggle. Therefore, we need God in order to fight in this battle. Our struggle isn't against what we can see and touch. Our struggle isn't against one another. It's against the spiritual forces of evil. Look how Paul describes these forces, drawing a connection between the spiritual reality and the physical world. He says, our struggle is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. Referring to some things in this world and then drawing a spiritual connection to them. Those things are interesting or amazing because those are the very things in Ephesians chapter 1 that God said Jesus, because He's seated in the heavenly realm, has authority over. He has authority over rulers, every ruler, every power, every dominion. So the very things in which we are battling, Jesus has already won the victory. Jesus already has authority over it all. So we put on Christ and we go, it's a sure thing. The fix is in. The battle's been fought. Christ won. And we are in Him by God's grace through faith in Him. Our battle is against the devil, not each other. Not the things in this world. Not cancer. Not Alzheimer's. Not age. Not struggles financially. Those are real things. They're real. I'm not saying the devil causes those things, but our struggle lies in the spiritual realm. Well, what are we to do then? This overwhelming battle, this massive battle, what are we to do? We're to stand. Verse 13. We're told that we are to stand. Put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Uh-oh. Is this like, be strong? I've got to figure out how to stand on my own strength? No, remember? This is all about not in our own strength, not in our own power. It's all about the power of God. We stand in God. We stand by God. We stand with God. But we are called in the full armor of God to stand. What's fascinating, He doesn't say, put on the full armor of God, get your tuchus out there and go fight. No. He says, put on God and stand there. Stand in the Lord, trusting in Him. And as Satan comes at us with his schemes, his attacks, his lies, we stand firm in God. Trusting in God, believing in God, but in who He really is. This is the battle that happened in the Garden of Eden. They didn't say, Adam and Eve didn't say, oh, there's no God. It must just be Satan. The problem there is that they believe the distortion that Satan told them of God. You think God really doesn't want you to know good and evil? You think He really doesn't want you to eat that fruit? Maybe God has another secret hidden meaning here. Maybe God isn't giving you everything that you should have or could have. Maybe God's keeping back some goodness from you. Those are lies. Those are distortions. Satan didn't come and say, God told you, what? There's no God. God doesn't exist. What are you talking about? You're crazy. God doesn't exist. He distorts it. What fixes our distortion? When we start to believe lies about God and we have a false image of who God is, we have a false image of what it means that we are born again by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. One is we can help each other with that. That's one way we can correct the distortion. But even that comes ultimately from the Word of God. The Bible. The Scriptures declare the glory of God, who He is. Yes, I know the Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. Yes, the Scriptures speak the truth of who God is. So when we stand in Him, we're not putting on false armor, broken armor. We're putting on the true God. Brothers and sisters, when we are in God's armor, oh, we can rest secure. Same image when it says, God is a strong tower. The righteous run into Him and are saved. Oh, what a safe place to be within God who is our tower. Oh, what a safe place to be in the armor of God, with God, in God Himself. Because we are born again by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We stand because of God's armor. Therefore, let us stand in the armor of God. In order to stand against the vicious assaults of the devil, we must put on the full armor of God. We put on God Himself. Let's pray. Father God, You are the mighty warrior. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Oh, Father, may we know You. That the lies and the deceit and the schemes of the evil one would be revealed for what they really are. That we would stand in You, knowing You, trusting You, believing You, with our faith in You, O God, that the evil one would be defeated. Equip us in Your armor, O God, we pray. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.